ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सी द टेक्स्ट भज गोविंदम has 31 verses, and the text begins with this first verse. Each was a small verse and consisting of four lines or something like that, small verses, very simple language, simplest Sanskrit language, you can understand easily. That's why I was thinking I should do this, and you can also help, I can help you pick up some words here and there. And it begins with the word Bhaja Govindam. Therefore, the text is given the name Bhaja Govindam. It has another name called Moha Mudgaraha. There is another name, Moha Mudgaraha. I mean, that which removes delusion, that's the meaning. But because the text begins with the first sentence, begins with the sentence Bhaja Govindam, it is named after that first sentence, Bhaja Govindam. And we see, because an incomplete sentence, or you can say, not incomplete, it's a complete, but still, it is Bhaja. It starts the Bhaja. Bhaja means what? May you know, may you attain, may you reach. Bhaja has many meanings. One meaning is, may you, simply you can say, may you worship and may you reach, may you attain, and one more important meaning is that may you know arivayaha adaivayaha, understand, vayipuduvayaha. So we have too many meanings. So bhaja is an imperative verb. When you say you know, may you know, means what? You must know. You must know. You must worship. You must attain. That's the meaning. Adivayaha, adivendam. Okay, that's the meaning. That means, then whom? Whom should you attain? Whom should you worship? Whom should you know? The Lord. May you know the Lord. Bhaja Govindam. Govindam is an objective case. Govindanai arivayaha. That is the meaning. Okay? May you know the Lord. And here, again we say, we according to Vedanta, we know Lord means the whole. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? We say the reality is the Lord. And what is the reality? We do not know what the reality is. But how do you know there is a reality? The whole jagat is manifestation of that reality. Therefore, the whole jagat is the Lord. This entire cosmos, we don't see the reality as reality. But this entire cosmos that we see is nothing but manifestation of the reality. Therefore, we say the entire cosmos is what? The Lord. Entire cosmos is the Lord. And that is why for us, then we are worshipping means, we know very well, worshipping means what? The worshipper is a devotee. The one who is worshipped is the Lord. The Lord who is worshipped is inclusive of what? The worshipper. The Lord who is worshipped is inclusive of the worshipper. Understand, vayubadugiravanayum sernda tannagathe konda mulumaye iraivan. Understand, the worshipper always included. The worshipped Lord the whole is inclusive of the worshipper. And not only that, the worship, the act of worshipping also is what? The Lord. The worshipped also is the Lord. And that is the Lord we talk about. That means, if the Lord is to be this Lord is to be understood means what? This Lord is to be worshipped, fine, but this Lord has to be attained. Lord has to be attained. How can you attain the Lord? In fact, there is no way of attaining the Lord. Knowing the Lord is attaining the Lord. இறைவனை அறிதலே அடைதல். Knowing the Lord is attaining the Lord. There is no way of attaining the Lord other than knowing the Lord. That is why in our culture, whenever we go and fall, you know, in front of the Lord at the altar, we fall at the feet of the altar. Remember that? Wherever we worship, bow to, especially whenever we bow to, whenever we bow to, we always bow to the feet. We fall at the feet. Understand? So what does it mean? The feet stand for knowledge. Tell me the secret. Why do we fall at the feet of the Lord? Symbolically, okay? Because feet symbolize the knowledge of the Lord. இறைவனை அறிதலை குறிக்கின்ற அடையாளம். Okay? Knowledge of the... It's not about... Feet symbolize the knowledge of the Lord. Understand? I don't know whether you remember this. I told you once. That is the reason when we go to Vaishnava temples. Have it mentioned here? Have I told you ever before? Whenever we go to any Vaishnava Sampradaya temples, there they from inside the sanctum sanctorum, the priest brings the shadari, a cap. Remember, it's called shadari. Cap, no? It has like a cap like. It's called a shadari. Say that name? Shadari. Because you should know what when you go to Perumal Kovil, Mahavishnu temple, any Mahavishnu temple you go, Lakshmana temple, Narayana temple, Rama temple, Krishna temple, any Vishnu temple you go, there you will have, no, you have to get two things from the temple definitely. First you have to get Tirtha Prasadaha you get everywhere, okay? Tirtha Prasadaha. Tirtha means what? Water. And water is called Tirtham. Okay, Tirtham is nothing but... Okay, Tirtha means what? H2O only. But why is this water known as Tirtham? The Sanskrit word Tirtha means that which purifies. Though it has come from the verb Tirthayati iti Tirtham. Tirthayati, I'm saying not Thuime Padthiradu. Tirthayati means purifies. That which purifies is called Tirtham. The very word in Tamil Nadu, Chennai, if you listen, people regularly use the word Tirtham. Even to drink water, they use the word Tirtham. But they made Tirtham as Thutham. Thutham. Some people in the hurry, they say Thutham also. It's called Tirtham. Tirthayati. Tirtham, that which purifies is Tirtham. Why? A water which has been offered to Bhagavan and which is brought out as prasadam and you take it, it is Tirtham, it purifies. It cleanses your antahkaranam. That's why it's called Tirtham. That which cleanses your mind. Because Tirtham, how does it? Because it has been sanctified with the many names of the Lord. The Archana and all that. And you also take it three times, you know. It's an Amatrayam, we say that. Om Achyutaya Namaha. Om Anantaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha. You have three times. The three times when you chant the mantra, the three names, when you chant three names of the Lord and take it, they believe, I tell you, any disease, anybody suffering with any disease, you always say this, please, any time you take water and chant this, any bottle you open, the water, say Achyutaya Namaha, Om Anantaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Om Achyutaya Namaha, Om Anantaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, drink it. It becomes Tirtham. Well, because not mere belief, okay? Because each word reveals the nature of reality. That is why it's a mantra. So we chant the Namatrayam and we take the water. It is purifying. I say Om Achyutaya Namaha, Om Anantaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha. We chant and then we take the water. So it is highly purifying. So we take this Tirtha Prasadam from Vishnu temple. And after Tirtha Prasadam, they will bring Shadari. It's called, you should know what they bring. Okay, Shadari. Is accepting Shadari, having Shadari, we say that. And the Shadari is nothing but a cap-like thing, on the top of which you can see 2 feet of the Lord. That means what? Mainly, Shadari is what? Feet of the cap is feet of the Lord. How can the feet be brought and kept on your head? Therefore, what do they do? Always it is kept near in front of the Murti, Perumal, in front of Narayana, Bhagavan, Vishnu. Then they bring it out, so they keep it on your head, like a cap, and take it. Okay? Keep and take it. That means what? Bhagavan's feet have been placed on your head. Every time they keep the Shadari, Bhagavan's feet have been placed on your feet, become now placed on your head. So every time the Shadari is placed, you bow to, and there's a prayer. O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of Thy Swarupam. Please reveal Thy Swarupam to me. Please bless me with the knowledge. That is the prayer. Whether you pray or not, whether you ask for knowledge or not, every time Hadari is placed, what is implied is, you have asked for knowledge. Terinjo, Teriyamlo, Hadari Vajitala, you asked for knowledge. Okay, that is a symbolic when they kept. That means what? Every time the feet, the head touches the feet means you have known Bhagavan. That stands for what? Head touching the feet implies that you have surrendered yourself to the Lord. It's a very big philosophy, I tell you. Every time our head touches the feet of the Lord, understand, whenever the Hadari is kept in your head, it implies the head has touched the feet of the Lord. The head touching the feet of the Lord means that you have surrendered yourself to the Lord. Your surrendering yourself to the Lord implies you have offered yourself to the Lord. Is it too fast?
No.
Okay, I'm repeating very slowly. And offering yourself to the Lord implies you cannot offer yourself physically, understand? You have resolved your identity with the Lord. Okay? Offering yourself to the Lord implies your having resolved yourself, having a resolved identity with the Lord. See, the head touching the feet of the Lord implies you have surrendered yourself to the Lord. Un thalai nam thalai thiruvadiyai thodudhal naan irivanukku ennai enna irivane saranagathi adandhadai kurikkirathu. Sharan adandhadai kurikkirathu. Then, you surrendering yourself to the Lord implies that you have offered yourself to Bhagavan. You have offered yourself to Bhagavan means you have resolved your identity with Bhagavan. That means what? Naan thanithu ondru illai, irupadellam irevane endru purindukolluvathe unnai irevanukku koduthal. Naan endra ondru thanithu illai, okay, irevane ellam endru purindukolluvathale unnai irevanukku koduthal, irevane sharanadaithal. Understand? Saranagathi adaithal. Adhu unnai irevanukku arpithal. See, understanding, you know, what do we mean by resolving one's identity with Bhagavan means what? Offering oneself to Bhagavan means having, you know, having resolved one's identity with Bhagavan, which means one has an having an understanding that all that is there is only Bhagavan. There's nothing which is not Bhagavan. Actually speaking, there's no such thing called I. Nanum tanichon ukkandirukkala irupadellam irevane. Understand? Unmail irupadellam irevane. This understanding, having this understanding. Look at this. Shadari has so much meaning. Understand? Not simply Shadari poi, truck, we run away, you know. Every time you have Shadari, this much. What does it mean? Having a Shadari on your head means that your head touching the feet of the Lord. Whenever your head touches the feet of the Lord, you have touched, you are not away from Bhagavan. That means what? You have surrendered yourself to Bhagavan. What do we mean by surrendering oneself to Bhagavan? Offering oneself to Bhagavan is surrendering oneself to Bhagavan. How can you offer yourself to Bhagavan? There's no, you are not offering yourself, Bhagavan is accepting you also. Offering oneself to Bhagavan means what? Understanding, okay? Having resolved one's identity with Bhagavan. What do we mean by resolving one's identity with Bhagavan? Having an understanding, all that is there is only Bhagavan. There is no second thing other than Bhagavan. This is a fact about Bhagavan. It is Irevanai Patriya Unmai. This has to be understood. Understand? This is a fact. This is a concept of Lord. This is a fact. This has to be understood. This has to be known. In that understanding of Bhagavan being the whole, you can say there is no such thing called I, okay, separately sitting. All that is, there is only Ishvara. This is the knowledge. This is the knowledge of the Lord. And that knowledge we do not have. That's why every time Shadari is placed on your head, you are supposed to pray mentally, O Lord, please reveal Thy Swarupam to me. Thereby, please bless me with the knowledge of myself being non-separate from You. Please bless me with Thy Swarupam. That is the prayer you are supposed to do. And this is the symbolic, okay? This is symbolic. That's why feet always symbolize knowledge of the Lord. And next point I tell you, therefore, where there is this knowledge, look at this, any mind which has this knowledge of Lord being the whole, okay, everything, ellam irevane, there's no second thing other than the Lord, where this knowledge is, in that mind, there cannot be what? Ignorance of the Lord. Knowledge is there, once ignorance cannot be there. Once ignorance is not there, where there is no ignorance of the Lord, ignorance of the truth, there definitely the sixfold enemies also cannot be there. You know sixfold enemies? I tell you, enemy is the one who makes you unhappy. Causes discomfort is enemy. Okay, whoever causes discomfort is a disease, illness, sick. Okay, sickness, the problem is your enemy. Understand? So here you say kamaha, krodaha, lobaha, mohaha, madaha, matsaryam. Okay, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaryam. These six are negative tendencies, okay, the thought forms, which are very natural. Just that head, if you have head, it's natural for us to have headache. Headache is not a problem, okay? Headache is natural. You don't need to feel bad about getting headaches. Similarly, mind is there means these sixfold tendencies will be there very naturally, but in different degrees and different proportions. Okay, one may have very little jealousy, one may have more jealousy, but still everywhere there will be little everything. Kamaha, no, desire. And krodaha, anger. Lobaha, greed. Greed, perasa. Mohaha, not delusion. Lack of discriminative understanding. All the time confused, okay? Mohas, delusion. Lack of discriminative knowledge and understanding. Mohaha. Madaha, pride. No, wrong. Pride is madaha. And matsaryam, jealousy, envy. Okay, these are the sixfold, these six thought forms, which actually every mind will have these six tendencies, and definitely they do cause discomfort, they do cause a lot of agitation, and they'll be there but in different degrees. Okay, one may have more, one may have little, but every mind will have these six. And these six can be there only if there is ignorance of the reality, ignorance of the Lord. Where there is knowledge of the Lord being the whole, there these six cannot be there. It's like, you know, it's like where there is light, there cannot be definitely darkness. Understand? Where there is no light, definitely there will be darkness. Like that, where there is ignorance of the Lord being the whole, there the six will be there. Where there is knowledge of the Lord being the whole, okay, there the six will not be there. Knowledge of the Lord and the six cannot exist together. That is why, understand, anything which drives away this should be what? Enemy, understand? For us, they are enemies. These six are enemies. But because they cause discomfort. At the same time, there is a knowledge of the Lord is enemy of the six. Knowledge of the Lord is said to be the enemy of the six. No way. If there is knowledge, knowledge will chase all the six out. They can't be there. That is why knowledge of the Lord is said to be Parambarali Patri Arivu in the Aran Pahayvanaha Sollapadihirathu. Is said to be the enemy of these six. Understand? That's why we say Shat means six, number six. And Arihi means enemy. Okay? Shannam Arihi, enemy of the six, is called what? Shat Arihi Shadarihi. Shadari. Shadari means enemy of the six. What is enemy of the six? Knowledge of the Lord being the whole. Symbolized by what? The feet. That is why Shadari, understand now? The feet of the Lord alone is said to be Shadari. Feet of the Lord, which symbolizes, which stands for the knowledge of the Lord, understand, are said to be the enemy of the six. Shadari means Aran Pahevan Artham. So every time you go and keep it there, oh Lord, please bless me with this Rupam, and then thereby remove all the six. But they will go. That is the Shadari. Okay? So why I wanted to tell you this much here? Because knowledge of the Lord, that is very important. No? That is why we go to temple and we ask for this knowledge. That is why knowing the Lord is attaining the Lord. Is it clear now? There is no way of attaining the Lord, reaching the Lord. Knowing the Lord is attaining the Lord. Iraivanai aridale adaidal. Therefore, and here is a must. There is no choice. If there is a choice, you can say, you can, you don't need to otherwise. You can say, but you must means what? There is no choice. Because that's why bhaja means what? Is an imperative verb. So bhaja govindam means may you know the Lord. You must know the Lord. That is the meaning actually. You must know the Lord. You have no choice about it. Okay? Unless and until you know the fact of the concept of the Lord being the whole, by knowing the truth of the Lord, okay, there's no way of becoming free from bondage, free from sorrow, free from limitations. Is it clear now? That's why it's called as a must. So it's an imperative verb. Bhaja, arivayaha, arivayaha. Understand? And then we can say, the word Lord, the Lord is the whole, and there are so many words which we can use to mean the Lord. So many words are there, which imply the Lord. But why Govindaha? Again, understand? Because Go means knowledge, and Vindaha means one who has to be attained. Therefore, Govindaha means one who has to be attained through knowledge. The Lord who has to be attained through knowledge is Govindaha. Arivaal adayappada vendiya iraivan. Arivaal adayappada vendiyavan. Arivaal means what? Aridale adaidal. Therefore, arivaal adayappada vendiyavan. There is no way of understanding. One who has to be attained through knowledge is what? Govindaha. That is the meaning of the word Govindaha. So he says, Govindam is objective. Govindanai arivayaha. May you know the Lord. The very imperative verb emphasizes how, emphasizes the choicelessness. Okay? That means it is no choice. There's no way. You have to know this fact about the Lord by knowing the truth of the Lord. Understand? You have to understand the concept of the Lord being the whole. Unless and until you know this, you cannot, there is no way of becoming free from limitations. That is why it's a must. Bhaja Govindam. Why I should know? Then he says the next, we'll read the verse now. Okay, why you should know. The whole book tells you why you should know. The whole text, Bhaja Govindam text now, talks about why you should know the Lord. The first sentence is what? May you know the Lord. If I do not know the Lord, what will happen? Why you should know? That is explained in the whole text. Yen irivanai ariya vendam. Is it clear now? Now let us read. Okay, we'll start now. It's an introduction to Bhaja Govindam. I want to say a few things about it. Is it clear now? Don't think I said something unwanted, irrelevant here about Shadari. Even Shadari, when you have, you pray for the knowledge of the Lord. Because I wanted you to know, because the word bhaja, very, 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 it has too many meanings. It also means may you attain, may you worship, may you sing in praise of, may you know. That is mainly, it means may you know the Lord. Who is to be attained through? Who has to be attained through knowledge? Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam, Bhaja Moodhamate, Govindam, Bhaja. Moodhamate. I'll get to the textbook when I come next class. Okay? Govindam bhaja moodhamate. Govindam bhaja moodhamate. Samprapte, samprapte, sannihite kale, sannihite kale. Samprapte sannihite kale, samprapte sannihite kale, nahi nahi rakshati dukhin karane, nahi nahi rakshati dukhin karane, bhaja Govindam, bhaja Govindam, bhaja Govindam, bhaja Govindam, Govindam bhaja modhamate samprapte sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukrim karne. So why he says, he repeats three times, bhaja govindam, bhaja govindam, bhaja govindam. When he said three times the same sentence is repeated, means it's only to emphasize the need, the emphasize the importance, the emphasize the choicelessness, okay, that there's no other way, you have to know. If you say once, you may not do it. Please write. Please write. Please write. If I say, you will do it. No, I'm just joking. That's why. Why? No, Adi Shankara himself, he knows, we will not care, no? Adi Shankara has to say three times, okay, tell us, or we will not listen. May you know the Lord. Please know the Lord. Okay. He has to, please, okay, may you know, make efforts to know, understand this concept of Bhagavan. Okay, may you know the Lord. Look at this. That's why it's very important to know this. This is not for the old people, it's not for the jobless people, it's not for when people are, you know, when they have nothing to do, then have to bhaja govindam. No, it has to be understood when they're young. It's a very fact, because this is very important nowadays. Concept of Lord has to be understood, you know, even to make our minds think correctly. So that we'll see the problems in society, everything. You have to understand this. So here, Shankara says this, because unless, it's a very important thing, very, very important thing to know what is, who we mean by the word Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? Who is Ishvara? We simply worship, we simply pray to the Lord. Even to know whether my prayer is efficacious. No, am I doing it faithfully or am I doing it out of fear? No, do I have faith in what I'm doing? Not simply, it's a blind faith or meaningful. Okay, do I know how really the prayer is efficacious? Even to understand the prayer is efficacious, no, and then I need to know the concept of Lord. Second thing, even to worship, know the significance of Lord, I need to know the concept of Lord. Otherwise, without knowing the efficacy of prayer, without knowing the significance of Lord, if you mechanically worship or mechanically pray, means it is sort of still, it won't give you really what you expect to. You need to get by praying and worshipping. And it's very important. And so Shankara emphasizes, may you know the Lord, may you know the Lord, may you know the Lord. And his second sentence, he says, why? Because, samprapte sannihite kale. Okay, kalaha means what? Time factor. Time factor always stands for your death. Understand? Time factor stands for time always is flowing. Understand? Time is relentlessly flowing. Continuously flowing. Always. And this time, so for in time, birth takes place. In time, things happen. Understand? And time, death also comes. It's like, samprapte sannihite kale means what? When the time approaches you in the form of death. Okay? And I tell you, to know what is marana bhayam, you should really get old. Then only we should really get very old and you will know what is insecurity, what is fear. Even this morning I was talking to Arniji about it. No? And I tell you, not to him, okay? Because it's very natural for every human mind. See, no other culture has analyzed so beautifully the need of the, you know, human mind. Every human mind, irrespective of whose mind it is, who the person is, rich or poor, old or young, okay, once you're on deathbed, especially when you get very old, everyone will subject to this marana bhayam, fear of death, okay, that we can't help it. So, samprapte sannihite kale, the time approaches you, in the form of death, then, nahi nahi rakshati. Nahi nahi again, say two times he says, okay, nahi nahi rakshati, nothing does protect you, nothing will protect you. okay, all your accomplishments, the artha pursuits, okay, you might have accomplished so much in terms of artha, you might have accomplished, you would have enjoyed so many pleasures, you could have seen, gone world, three, four times, five times, six times, the world tour, you would have seen the best of things in life, you would enjoy the best of pleasures, but all that you enjoyed throughout your life will not help you. Understand? That is why no artha, no karma, even the life of dharma which you lived throughout, understand? Even that will not help you. This is what I am saying, you understand. Artha, as I talked last class, artha, karma, dharma are very, very important. We do not need to ignore artha, karma, dharma pursuits. We need to pursue artha, karma, dharma, but we should know the limitations. But what they cannot do, okay, they cannot protect you. They cannot protect you absolutely. They can give you relative protection by giving you infrastructure. They can make you feel relatively protected, but they cannot really, you know, protect you absolutely in the absolute sense. That is why nahi nahi rakshati, nothing protects you. It means what? Not artha. All that you have earned in your life, your money, your assets, okay, your bank balance, and all that wealth and properties you have occurred throughout your life, that does not protect you. Shastram does not say you should not have earned money. Okay, it's a good thing you have earned money. At least somebody is there to look after you now. That you should have money, everything, but know the limitation of it. It cannot protect you. Even the pleasures, that all lots of varieties of pleasures you enjoyed throughout your life, those pleasures you can think of, recollect, and you can still feel pleased, you know, enjoy, recollecting the pleasures you enjoyed before, but still even those pleasures, you know, are not capable of protecting you. And again, one more thing, even the dharma, the life of dharma you lived, no, that does not protect you. That means what? Here, something more is needed for protection. So here again, protection means what? I'm very well, you have people around, you have your kith and kin, wife or husband or children, relatives and people, even if you have dozens of children, and all of you are around, now that you are not an orphan, you are not an uncared person, so many people are around and very, very good doctors are attending to you, still nobody can help you. NHS. Okay, everything is such a, so nice, all, you know, very good health care, everything is given, but still nothing can protect you. This is a fact. Why? Because what do we, that means we need to understand the very word protection. Okay, nothing, nahi nahi rakshati means protects, nahi rakshati, nahi rakshati, okay. What nahi rakshati? Dukrinch karane means what? Anything, any karma you did in your past life. Past means what? The whole life, anything you did and anything accomplished by doing. That's what it means, dukrinch karana. Okay, dukrinch karane means what? It implies all your accomplishments, achievements, you know, which you have acquired through, by doing something. The whole life you can give big biography, people write about the biographies, no? I did that, I did that, and this, he did that, I did that, and I have this, I have accomplished, how I achieved this, how I got this house, how I got this car, how, if you say you would have done so many things, that is what, accomplishments in the form of artha, kama, dharma, which you have accomplished by doing karma, all those accomplishments, no, achievements, will be of no use in terms of protection. Okay, when, especially when time approaches you, the time of death. Understand? That means it's not really there. We can always think. This is the literal meaning of the verse. And here we need to understand what does Shankara mean by the word protection. Now, protection means, no, being secure, being free from insecurity. Being free from the sense of being insecure. That's why we can always say, who is fearless person, okay? Being free from the sense of insecure, or being free from insecurity, being free from the sense of, okay, insecure, that being insecure is in fact being fearless. If you ask what is fearlessness, fearlessness is equal to being secure. Being secure is equal to being protected. This is how we have to understand. Understand? Protection is equal to security. Security is equal to fearlessness. That means what? Oh, Shankara says, psychology so beautifully, he says, irrespective of who the person is, what one has achieved or not achieved in life, okay, every mind will be what? Fearful. There will be some fear or the other in every mind. There will be fear, there will be anxiety, there will be insecurity, understand? And then that insecure, fearful, anxious mind is the unprotected mind. Okay? Protectionless mind. Therefore, according to Shankara, protection means security and fearlessness. Protection means security and fearlessness. Have you ever thought, which other culture teaches you like this? The very starting. Tell me. That is why it is very natural for one. Everybody will be, you know, will be frightened of something or the other. The fear is very natural one. Insecurity is very, very natural one. No insurance company can really make you feel secure. Because Shastram says, why he says that very clearly, unless and until knowledge takes place, you may feel secure, okay, by certain things. There's no real security. He says here, the real security, the real protection, the real fearlessness is possible only if there is knowledge. Only in knowledge, fearlessness is possible. Only in knowledge, there is real protection. Only in knowledge, there is real security. So until knowledge takes place, there will be fear, there will be insecurity, there will be... this you can't help. And he says here, that is why the protected mind is the mind... Protected mind means the Jnani's mind is the protected mind. So knowledge alone is knowledge protects. Knowledge is protection. Knowledge alone. Knowledge is protection. Knowledge protects. Other than knowledge, nothing can protect you. Knowledge is security. That is why all our mantras mainly we ask for knowledge. Why are you asked to chant Gayatri mantra? In Gayatri mantra, what do you ask for mainly? Gayatri mantra is okay, has a prayer wherein you ask for knowledge. And any Gayatri for that matter, okay, if you see that, you know, we say prachodayat. No, prachodaya, naha deha prachodayat. May you know, naha deha prachodayat means, may you inspire our thoughts in right direction means, may you enlighten our minds with knowledge. That's the meaning. Therefore, in all, mainly you ask for knowledge. When you chant Mrityunjaya mantra, what do you ask for? You ask for absolute protection and freedom from mortality by asking for knowledge. Main prayer in any mantra is for knowledge. Praying for knowledge. That's why any mantra, whether even if you chant without knowing the meaning, we pray for knowledge. Because you do not know the value of knowledge to pray for the knowledge. Why? Because why do you need to pray for knowledge? You pray for something, no? If you know the value of something, you pray for that. If you go and people all do Sri Sukta Homam. Why? Because Sri Sukta Homam, if you do, somebody said, some astrologer says, if you do Kubera Homam, Kubera Puja, it is blessed with a lot of money. Okay, poverty has to go, money has to come. Okay, you have to get some good job, good money. That means people all will do that. I know many people who do regularly Kubera Puja. Many people who do Sri Sukta Homam. And why particularly I don't say you should not do. Especially you do something, why? When you know the value of it. Understand? Because you know what you're going to gain by that. You know the value of what you're going to gain by doing this particular puja. Similarly, to pray for something, you pray for money, you ask for something when you know the value of that. Similarly, even to pray for knowledge, you should know the value of knowledge. To aspire for knowledge, you need to be committed to pursue knowledge. Understand, I should know, I need to know, I will know. It's a commitment to know also. In efforts to know, anything is possible only if you know the value of knowledge. If you don't know what you're going to gain by knowing the concept of Lord, by knowing the truth, the reality of the whole, why should you be interested in knowledge? That is why it's very, very important to know the value of knowledge. So that's why Shankara emphasizes, if you do not know the value of knowledge, you will not make efforts to know the truth. You will not be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And Bhagavan says, you have to know. May you know. And how does he say? Nahi nahi rakshati dukin karane. Anything accomplished in your life by doing karma, that will not protect you at the time of death. Okay, will not free you from, not at time of death. Even every day, in day-to-day life, when are you not affected by anxiety and fear and tension and insecurity? Lord, always something is troubling you. The insecure feeling is always there. We don't really think about it, okay? We try to forget those things and then because we engage ourselves in something else. Really speaking, there's no time you're free from the sense of being insecure. Always that is there. Really speaking, always throughout life there is that insecurity is there. Fear is there. And Shankara says, it's not that something, as a child you'll be scared of lizard or small insect or any worm or anything. And as a grown-up person, still you are scared. Okay? The fear is there. Not only these things frighten you, they cause fear in you. Really speaking, basic insecurity. Understand? That is why that fear, the root cause of the fear, is ignorance. That is why until and unless ignorance is removed, fear will not go. Fear is a phenomenon which has its being caused by ignorance. Understand? And know now, psychiatrist, you must be knowing this. And that's why Shastram tells basic thing here. And now you know. And unless and until you become free from this fear, the fear called fear, there's no way of you're recognizing your freedom from limitations. The limitations, any limitation will be fear, causing fear. Anything which limits you will cause fear. That is why, may you know, the fear is something undesirable, the pain. Fear is pain, in fact. Fear is not desirable. And fear and the insecurity is not desirable. Therefore, and these two, fear and insecurity, I can say, as long as it's there, there's no real protection. You still, you are unprotected. Whatever you have for the sake of being protected is only relative protection. All your bank balance and the National Health Services, you know, all these, the council help, etc., is only relative protection. There's no absolute protection. Still there is insecurity. Okay, this lack of protection. The real protection is in knowledge. Therefore, that is, being protected is being free. Being protected from fear. Okay, is being free. Mukti. Therefore, if you want, what, this way, freedom is your choiceless end. You want to be protected 100% totally. And so that freedom, being free is being protected. Therefore, for freedom, for protection, the only way is to know the Lord. Therefore, may you know the Lord. And knowing the Lord is attaining the Lord. Really speaking, Lord, you can never attain the Lord. Why you need to know the Lord? Next step, look at this. Why you need to know the Lord? Why should you not attain the Lord or reach the Lord? And here again, Shastram is against it. Know why? Anything which is away from you, distant from you, can be attained or reached. And anything attained definitely will go away from you. Understand? Anything reached again, it will be what? Can be separated from you. And you want to be protected forever. Therefore, the Lord can never be, Lord is never away from you. Why? Because you are never away from Lord, in fact. You are never away from Lord. Lord is never away from you. You can never become one with the Lord also. Because you are already one with the Lord. The wave can never become one with the ocean. Understand? The wave is already ocean. Can the wave ever become a ocean again? No. The wave is already part of the ocean. Already wave is already the ocean. The wave can never become ocean. But what? The wave is never away from the ocean. But understand, similarly, you are never away from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is never away from you. You can never become Bhagavan. You can never attain Bhagavan, reach Bhagavan. And because now there is as though distance between you and the whole. As though there is distance. As though Bhagavan is away from you. As though you are away from Bhagavan. It is as though it's due to what? Ignorance. What is it which distance, you know, issue from Bhagavan is the ignorance of who Bhagavan is, what Bhagavan is, what the truth is. It is ignorance which causes distance between you and the Lord. The knowledge which resolves the distance between you and the Lord. It's not undo the distance. Understand? You know, it resolves the distance because there's no real distance. There's real distance between you and the Lord. Nothing can undo the distance. There's as though distance caused by ignorance. Therefore, there's the distance caused by ignorance can be resolved by knowledge. Understand? Therefore, attaining the Lord is not possible. Knowing the Lord is possible. Now, I feel as though I'm away from the Lord. Lord is away from me. Lord seems to be unknown to me. As if I'm searching for the Lord. This is because of the ignorance of the reality. And therefore, knowing the truth is the only way which is all the distance. And wherein, in knowing the Lord, the distance being removed from, the distance between me and the Lord being removed, then one becomes free from all limitations. One becomes free from all limitations. In fact, the smallness set on oneself also will be removed. Will be resolved. Naan kuregale udayavan, that no, that very notion will be resolved. The smallness set down, I will be resolved. And in that, in discovering that truth, one becomes protected. So unless this fact is understood, there is no real protection. That is why you are seeking for absolute protection, which is moksha. Whether you like it or not, you are seeking choicelessly the absolute protection. Anything which you already own or you have gives you only relative protection, not absolute protection. And absolute protection is only in jnanam. Therefore, may you know the Lord. Understood now? It's over. First verse is over. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Moodhamate Samprapte Sannihite Kale Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukhin Karane. That's why, what's the time now? Next shloka he is going to say, Moodha Jahihi Dhanagama Drishnam Kuru Sadbuddhim. I'll get you the book next time, okay? Manasi Vitrishnam Moodha Jahihi Dhanagama Drishnam Kuru Sadbuddhim Manasi Vitrishnam Yallabhase Nija Karmopatam Vittam Tena Vinodaya Chittam. He is going to say continue. Why you should know the Bhagavan, and to know the truth of Bhagavan, how you should live. If you have to know the truth of the Bhagavan, then you have to live also. This lifestyle is very important. So live your lifestyle in such a way that will pave way for this knowledge of the Lord. Help you gain this knowledge. The moodha, now he says, moodha means deluded. O deluded man, O deluded minded, telivatra manade udayavane, because hey moodha, O deluded person, because we do not know what the purushartha is, what is it ultimately I am seeking, I do not know. And I am so confused, and I do not know moksha is my ultimate pursuit. And sometimes even if people come and tell you moksha is the ultimate pursuit, then give up all other pursuit, don't pursue artha, don't touch money, don't have pleasures in life, give up everything, don't. There are some people who confuse us also. That's also not right. Therefore, artha is important, kama is important, of course dharma is very, very important, but these three pursuits themselves, they're only relative ends. Okay? Ends. In a way, they serve as means to accomplish the ultimate end. The ultimate end is moksha. These three are relative ends which have to be pursued, but they are not my ultimate ends. Okay, without pursuing the relative ends, there is no way of accomplishing the ultimate end. But these three relative ends themselves do not become ultimate end. Ultimate end is different, and for these three ends, artha, kama, dharma, I need to do karma. Only by doing something, I can accomplish artha, kama, dharma. But for moksha, I need not do anything, I need to only know. Understand? For artha, kama, dharma, relative ends, karma, performance of action is the means. But for moksha, knowledge alone is the means. In five, because knowledge itself is moksha, not karma. Understand? Not karma. But for that, then this must be clear. All these things are very clear, then I need to know. Okay, for ultimate end, I need to know the truth, and for knowing, I should be mentally prepared, mentally ready. It's not possible for knowledge to take place overnight. For that knowledge, if I had, my mind has to become ready for knowledge, how I should live. That is very important. By living a lifestyle is very, very, you know, the given lifestyle is very important. Sanatana dharmaha. And here Shankara says here, Jahihi dhana agama trishna. Don't mistake the artha for your ultimate end. We always mistake artha for ultimate end. Dhana agama trishna. Trishna means thirst, craving. Okay, dhana agama trishna. Mark, no, mudha jahihi means give up. Okay, or may he doesn't say may you give up the pursuit of wealth. No, may you not be craving for wealth, may not be given to the pursuit of wealth as the ultimate end. That is the meaning. Okay. Mudhajahihi dhanagama trishnam. Why? Because if the moksha being the ultimate is not clear, knowledge being the me, only me, knowledge itself being identical with moksha is not very clear, then artha kamas will become the ultimate ends. Artha kamas become the ultimate ends means, I tell you, you will be craving, you will be crazy after money. Understand? Money is very important. We have to earn money, but we should not be crazy. That means go crazy means what? I mean, that should not become the ultimate end. Then that is when you have craving and thirst for that. That's why dhana agama trishnam jahihi means what? Please know, artha should not become your ultimate end. Artha is only a means, a relative end, which should serve as means to accomplish the ultimate end, moksha. Mudha jahihi dhanagama trishnam kuru sadbodhim manasi vitrishnam. For kuru sad manasi vitrishnam sadbuddhim kuru. It means also may you have sadbuddhim kuru means may you entertain, no, the right thinking, and may you see all your desires are governed by dharma. So may you not have craving for artha and kamas. May not crave for artha kamas. Yallabhase nija karmopatam. Then not only that, so whatever you are able to earn as ordained by your paradha karma. Your paradha karma must have ordained something for you to earn. Definitely. Yallabhase, whatever you gain. How you gain? By doing something. And whatever you gain by doing something, that is ordained by what? I tell you, every penny you earn from any company, any institution or any by doing any work, that is not somebody is giving you. Don't think you are giving. Your punyam. Past punyam, really. Past punyam account, okay? That comes from the present job and present money. Nija karma upatam. Nija karma upatam. By one's own karma. Whatever you gain as ordained by your own paradha karma. Nija karma upatam. Yallabhase nija karma upatam. Vittam tena vinodaya chittam. Chittam vinodaya. May you keep your mind in good humor. Okay? May you keep yourself contented. Means what? May you keep yourself in good humor. Understand? With whatever money you gain by doing something as ordained by your prarabdha karma. Because understand the fact, be mature, accept the fact, understand, it's all, so be mature and may you live your life in such a way that you can know Bhagavan in this very life. That alone will protect you, nothing else will protect you. Okay, so we'll come back and see you.